Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Yes, it is WBAI 99.5 FM listener supported radio. It's so hard to understand anger, you know? I mean, it really is hard to understand anger that is expressed between people and all the different forms of anger. One time I was talking about, we did a program on hysterical outbursts, people who browbeat and scream, shout and yell, intimidate, sometimes become violent, they lose control. That's one form of aggression. It's a difficult way to live. And everybody who's involved in one of these relationships, in a relationship with a screamer, oof, you hate your life. If you're a screamer or know a screamer, you got the idea of what it's like. But today I want to focus on another form of aggression, one that takes often place in love relationships, and sometimes it even takes place on radio stations or within corporate entities. Any way you look. Did you ever listen to people talk, especially when they're campaigning, and you say, oh, there's something bitter behind that. There's something bitter behind that. And you hear this bitterness behind. Well, that's aggression. But then there's another form of aggression called passive aggressiveness. And I want to talk about that today because I think this is the most crippling, the most difficult to deal with. Crippling to have, crippling to be with. If you have somebody who's passive, who's aggressive, well, you can see, you know, they're coming at you to hit you with a stick, you defend yourself. But passive-aggressive, you don't know how to defend yourself. So we're going to talk about that today. It's brought about by an article that appeared in the New York Times today, where they did a little further research on it. And I'm going to be integrating the article from the New York Times into my own work to try to describe what this is about. Passive aggressiveness. Yes, I'm going to focus on it. It's the kind of aggression that takes place that just doesn't seem like you could identify it. Experts make a distinction between two things. One is called a passive aggressive behavior, which most people display at times. And another is called a passive-aggressive personality. Two differences. Passive-aggressive behavior is kind of interesting because, you know, sometimes it is just not wise to express your anger. And so you may express it passively, which we'll talk about. But then there are people where it's ingrained and habitual. It could come across as a maddening blend of evasiveness and contrition, apologies, agreeableness mixed with impudence. Sometimes it's even masked by more obvious mental illnesses like depression. Sometimes you can't see it, but this personality disorder, this passive-aggressive personality disorder, is something that is very important to pay attention to. Whether pathological or not, this pattern is often traceable to a distinct childhood experience. New research suggests that in most cases it stems from, get this, a positive, socially protective instinct meant to keep peace at home, to avoid costly mistakes at work, and even a desire of some weird way of preserving self-respect. Some of the people being seen as passive-aggressive are, in fact, being extremely careful not to commit mistakes. And that may be what it's all about. This kind of insolence among adults protecting themselves from what they saw as unreasonable, arbitrary authority was in part an adaptive behavior. That's what most of the psychologists say. So if you think about it, people who are passively aggressive are protecting themselves from a perceived arbitrary authority. And I'll give you an example. If you're a boss and you have a passive-aggressive employee, they will always make mistakes. Then they will cover up their mistakes. They will make excuses. Excuses are amazing number of excuses. No matter what you say to them, boom, they've got a reason. Hey, I told you to do this. Oh, yeah, but you didn't tell me to do it now. And then it goes even further. You know, it's like the way they get even with you, they show up late. They'll be late. It's when they perceive the authority as unreasonable, they will respond with passive-aggressive behaviors. Now, this is very interesting in our society because we do live in a somewhat unreasonable society, but most corporate jobs, most places where people work are not unreasonable, but they're perceived as unreasonable. So if the perception is that the authority is unreasonable, the response could either be quit your job, tell them you're angry, or become passively aggressive. Now, as we know, well, that sounds kind of normal, doesn't it? Well, how else are you going to handle it? Well, the trouble with it is it doesn't stop there. The same thing happens at home with your husband or your wife. They make you think unreasonable demands on you. You become passively aggressive. What are the forms of passive aggressiveness that we see in love relationships? Well, one is called stonewalling. Stonewalling, where you don't even talk back. You don't hear the person, or you only respond to parts of what a certain person says. Another could be forgetfulness. You forget your anniversary. You forget the birthday. Another could be making certain mistakes, letting down your part of the job. I forgot to call the telephone company. Yeah, I just forgot. I was too overwhelmed. These are targets. These are things that people do to get even with the perceived unreasonable authority, even if you are not unreasonable. So you get caught in a loop. It's very frustrating. It becomes a kind of insolence. It's among adults protecting them from what they think is, like I said, this unreasonable, arbitrary authority. But remember, you took the job. If you take a job and you have a boss and the boss is unreasonable, get out of the job. But if you stay in the job and you stay in this job like you've stayed in many other jobs, and you resist and you resist and you resist and you hold yourself back over and over again, then you're perpetuating this, because I guarantee you, if you're passive-aggressive at work, you are passive-aggressive at home. Another form of passive-aggressiveness that shows between couples, sexual issues. You go sexually dead. A passive-aggressive man can't get an erection, suddenly. Or he loses his erection during sex. A passively-aggressive woman will feel nothing, or get a headache, or be too busy, or be too tied up with the kids. That's passive aggressiveness. What's the difference? If it were aggressive, you'd stand up and you'd say, I'm mad at you. See, you don't have to hit the person. But if you're afraid to say, I'm mad at you, because you're afraid you're going to lose too much, you're not willing to take the risk, passive aggressiveness becomes the way that people function. And you need to recognize it, my friends. Some people with strong passive tendencies can grow up in loving but demanding families. You know, in other words, if you have a loving but demanding family, that lays the ground for this passive aggressiveness. So if you've got parents who are really nice and kind, but they expected a lot of you, they wanted achievement from you, guaranteed. How are you going to deal with them? The way you're going to do it is you're going to make mistakes. You know what I think is another social adaptation to passive-aggressiveness, a way of dealing with what you consider unreasonable demands? What's called attention deficit disorder. ADD, being unable to pay attention, it's a way of saying, screw you, to to anything that is required of you. You can't pay attention. Your mind doesn't stay on it. Now, this is nobody's fault. A passive-aggressive person is stricken by a bug. That's as much as having an obsessive-compulsive disorder. It is something that is there, that has got you, and once it gets you, my friends, it stays with you. Because it gets reinforced. You don't know how to do it. You could have somebody yells at you, then you apologize. And then you can't help it because you can't take on confrontation. Now, why would this come from a loving family? Well, it makes a lot of sense. In a crazy family, you have a right to get angry because the people look wrong. They're doing bad things. The parents are doing obvious bad things. If they're beating you up, you get mad at them. You don't become passive-aggressive. The child that becomes passive-aggressive is the one who watches their brother and sister getting beaten up. And they say, wait a minute, there's my brother and he's fighting back. I'm not going to fight back, I'm going to be a good boy. So the good boy becomes passive-aggressive. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind, trying to give you some tools for living. I want you to recognize something that is very important, brought to my attention by an article in the New York Times today. You might be able to catch it and see it. On passive aggressiveness, stuff that I started to dig out some of my early materials on it. So if you have a non-living, loving family, it's easy to be aggressive. Now, if you're a firstborn child, this is a prime candidate for being a passive aggressive, because you're expected to do more work than you can handle by your parents, right? You're going to be the surrogate father, the surrogate mother, the second in line. And you begin to resent your parents' demands, but you don't dare to defy them because you want to be loved by them, because they're competitors right down the line, your younger brothers and sisters. You know, they're going to get the love that you're not going to get if you don't obey them. And so you become this kind of response to that authority by doing what they say. The hostile cooperation. That's what it is. It's hostile cooperation, but it doesn't look hostile. It's at the core of passive aggression. It's habitually directed at any authority figure, whether a boss, a teacher, or a spouse making demands. You know, kids cutting school. It's such an amazing thing, or not doing your papers, or defying your teachers. What makes that happen? They call it juvenile delinquent disorder. You know, they got all kinds of names for it. And what it means is the kid is saying, I perceive you, the authority, as unreasonable. And because you are unreasonable, I am going to resist you. Now, usually passive-aggressive people fester this with other people. They go and they complain to other people about this difficulty that they perceive. They create gangs because they're hoping to get a whole group of people to disagree with this perceived ogre. The boss, the teacher, the principal, the parent. Sometimes, however, mild passive-aggressive behavior can be an effective means to avoid potentially costly confrontations. You know what I mean? If you're somewhere in the military, and you want to, somehow, you don't want to do what they're telling you to do, you don't feel like entering that mosque, you may get sick. You see, illness is one of the manifestations of passive aggressiveness. Getting sick to avoid tasks, headaches, stomach disorders, things like that is another form, another way that you get an excuse not to do what they're telling you to do. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind, here on WBAI, trying to teach you about something, about aggression, my friends, and it's all around you. It's everywhere you go. It's on every time you ever get those incredible menus on those voicemails. If you call a corporation, you call Verizon or somebody because you're upset with them about something on your bill, and you're going to have a party. Well, If you want it in English, press 1. Then, if you're in New York, press 1 or press 2. Now, if you want to talk about this or that, press 3. You know, I teach you a secret about menus. Always choose the one that says new business. If you're looking to order something new, press 5. Press that one, because they'll generally have somebody around trying to answer the phones, you know, rather than just passing you on, because the whole idea here is we don't want you to object. We don't want you to fight back. We don't want to hear it. Our people on the phones can't listen to you. I run a mental health center here in New York. I have this beautiful clinic. It's a great place. We have resisted voicemail for the last 7 years, and we've gotten to a point between the radio stuff that I do and other political stuff that I do where it would really pay to put in a voicemail. Hey, if you have a question about psychotherapy, press 1. Hey, if you want to speak to this therapist, press 2. Or if you want to talk about the radio program, press 4. We don't do it. I get these two incredible people working out at my office, and they are Jana and Mary, and they are fabulous, but they're humans. They greet you. And why do they greet you? They greet you because I don't want to be a part of that saying to the audience, we don't want to be bothered with you. You know? We don't want to be bothered with you unless you either come in with the money or you promise you're not going to complain. That's what all that voicemail is about. And corporations in general, not just, I don't mean to make corporations bad, because even though I'm not Pacifica, WBAI is a corporation. You know, they are a corporation. I don't try to call them, because you get Fred, see? But they eventually, I'm sure they're going to go to all menu-driven. But Pacifica could be a corporation, but so can IBM be a corporation. They have difficulty. Now, another common way nowadays of people being passively aggressive, they don't answer their cell phone. My God, has this been a power. First of all, you now have a cell phone, and then you look down at caller ID, and you see who it is that's calling, and you don't answer. Oh, is that a way of spitting in somebody's face or not? That is a way of just whack. Oh, I'll just disconnect you when you call. I won't listen. If you get really sophisticated, you can learn to listen to when you've been shut off, because most phones will ring 4 or 5 times before the person answers. And if the person has the phone off, it'll only ring once. But if he gets to the third ring and then suddenly you get a message, most probably somebody looked down and they saw your name and they said, feh. But I can't say feh to them. So I'll just leave them a nice message with a little sound. And says, I'll call you back when I get a chance. Armand Miller here with you with a positive mind. Here's another one you get, and you get this a lot at a lot of places. Mailbox full. You go through trying to leave a message. You finally locate the person, and you finally get through to them, and you finally get the person, and their mailbox is full. Their mailbox can't take any more messages. Now, my friends, do you think that somebody can't dump their mailbox? Do you think they're saving all these precious messages? No, they don't want to hear anymore. They don't want to, especially if they're in some position of authority, like a person you would complain to. More passive-aggressiveness. So this passive-aggressiveness breeds passive-aggressiveness. And you get angry back, and they get angry at you, and you get angry at them, but you don't express it. And what happens next? Explosions. Anger. It blows up. Forgetting things. Being late. Passive-aggressive sexuality. You know, we live with it every day. Am I saying you should be aggressive? No. If aggression means violence, I don't want that. But what is non-passive aggression? It's telling somebody you're angry. You're saying to somebody, I'm upset with you and I want to talk to you about it. You'd be willing to take some risks. Okay. Now, We've been talking about passive-aggressive, when the behavior pattern of being passively aggressive is ingrained, when it becomes your style, and it's compulsive, when it's an automatic reaction, like explaining. You can meet people who explain everything. Hey, did you turn on the lights? No, that's because you told me not to, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's a dog ate the homework thing. The dog ate the homework. The dog ate the homework. The dog ate the homework. That's why I couldn't do the homework. When it becomes compulsive, when it becomes a matter of you can't even tell the truth, you can't say, leave me alone, I needed a break, I wanted to take a break. You don't can't say this. Instead, you make an excuse. When it's compulsive and automatic, it is neither adaptive nor merely bewildering, but it could be dangerous. When it gets down to the point where the passive aggressiveness is now compulsive and you just don't have a choice, it's like compulsive liars. They don't have a choice. It's like addiction. You don't have a choice. Then it starts getting a little dangerous. Dangerous to the personality. Many people with multiple diagnoses, from attention deficit disorder to obsessive compulsive disorder to intractable depression, many of them with other problems like substance abuse, multiple suicide attempts, it all kind of goes together. How does that happen? Why does that happen? Because depression itself is the inability to express anger effectively. Any of you out there depressed? If you're depressed, you're not good at expressing anger. That's clear. You want the second requirement? If you're depressed, you're turning the anger against yourself and blaming yourself. Passive-aggressive people are always blaming themselves. They're always scolding themselves. They're always beating themselves up. As well as not resisting. You know, they just can't be straight with their anger. They can't. Depression is the inability to express it. So you get this kind of sinking trap. Half of the passive-aggressive people, in people who are like this, who have multiple disorders like addiction, passive-aggressiveness is generally running the show. Addiction is a good form of it. What is addiction about? Addiction is calm me down. Let me get calmed down. Give me a drug to calm me down. Give me sex to calm me down. Give me love to calm me down. All of those could be addictive. And all of that is because you can't express anger. Love addicts. I know so many love addicts. People who fall in love with love. They got to have love in their lives. Isn't it coincidental? They can't express anger. They're no good at expressing anger in relationship. So they become love slaves. They become addicted to love. Armand DeMille with you. Now, Marjorie Klein, a psychiatrist at the University of Wisconsin, said, they're not doing it on purpose. It's part of a deep-seated ambivalence about getting blamed, about being seen as wrong, and it's an ambivalence about even changing, about getting better. So it becomes a thing that therapists have a very difficult time with. When and if the person who has got a passive-aggressive behavior goes to therapy, they're usually determined to fail in therapy. They usually are, yeah. The therapist becomes just another authority figure. The patients will take their medications, or they won't take their medications, or they'll take their medications if it's a psychiatrist, and they'll report it doesn't work. Or they'll go into therapy and they'll listen to a therapist and they'll say, it doesn't work. It's not working. You're not helping me. The patients will follow advice and then they'll complain that it's useless or senseless. They're not doing it on purpose. Do you understand? They don't. It's like they can't help it. One of the things that happened with me a great deal is I see a lot of people who go to see a therapist on my recommendation. I tell them to come back to me and get back to me and let me know how the sessions went. When they call me and they tell me, oh, I didn't like this, I didn't like that, and they want to switch immediately, I say, go back to that therapist and tell them. Because the ability to confront your therapist with your disagreements is part of the cure. Part of the cure of passive aggressiveness or even depression is to be able to confront the person who you're not getting your needs met with. That was convoluted, with whom you're not getting your needs met of. So just living with the behavior in someone else can be as tough as treating it. To manage garden variety, passive-aggressive behavior, psychiatrists often advise a kind of protective engagement. Don't ever attack the person. If you have somebody who's passive-aggressive, do not scream at them. Even though you'll be infuriated, do not yell at them, because nothing's going to happen. They're going to stonewall you and agree with you. And they're going to nod their heads and they're going to plan their revenge without even knowing they're planning their revenge. And it only reinforces your position as an authority-making kind of person. You yell at them and they say, well, there it is, unreasonable demands. Even if it's your husband, even if it's your wife, you're not going to get any mileage by screaming at them if they are passive-aggressive. You've got to recognize it. Take into account the probable cause of the person's unexpressed anger goes all the way back. And watch. Watch for stonewalling. We did a series of programming on troubled relationships. We offered them during the fun drive, my friends. They're available through my offices, Troubled Relationships. It is three CDs, three programs about these kind of passive-aggressive responses that people have. And be sure, because once you yell at somebody, be on guard, because retaliation is coming. It is no accident that the employee that you yell at calls you the next day or comes in a half hour late the next day with a dog-ate-the-homework story. With a mate that you yell at who just suddenly mixed up your medications when giving them to you. Well, maybe that's too a little aggressive. Make sure, if he agrees to take over your relative's place for Thanksgiving, but you know he doesn't want to do it, watch out. Because take you over. If somebody's supposed to, you know, not want to go to your family for Thanksgiving, and you convince him to take you, and he agrees to it but doesn't like doing it, watch out. He's not going to show up. He may not show up. The car may never get to you. The tire will blow out. The thing will happen. This will happen. Any number of things will happen. He may take the car and may not even be able to get home in time, and he won't know it. Just won't know it. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM. We want to talk a little more about passive-aggressive behaviors. I want you to kind of get it. But get the idea, my friends. These are people who believe that there is an unreasonable authority somewhere in the world, and that authorities tend to be unreasonable, and therefore they feel justified in resisting you. It is a battle. It is a war. We're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes. T-Dub, I know we want to do station ID. In fact, I'll do the station ID. We'll make it easy. This is Armand DeMille with you on WBAI 99.5 FM. It is 1:30 here in New York. I brought you a little special music today. I brought you something special. For those of you who have donated during the fund drive, please fulfill those pledges if you haven't done it yet. It's real important to us. Here's something unique and special.
Oba, 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 na 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 na, na 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 na, oh, ariara yo, oba, oba. Eu quero passar, pois o samba está animado. O que eu quero é sambar. este samba que é misto de maracatu. É samba de preto velho, samba de preto tu. Mas que nada, um samba como esse tão legal, você não vai querer que eu chegue no final. Quem potente quando vou dar zumba dança zumba da voz um baile um dia lá 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 minha ninha moninha ninha para
Más que nada. Más que nada. More than nothing. Luis Enrique. H-E-N-R-I-Q-U-E. Luis Enrique. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. If you're just passing by, right? Maybe you were passing by aggressively. And this is all about. We're doing a program today on passive aggressive personality. This is Armand DeMille with you. Passive-aggressive personality, a very interesting thing. What it is, what it's about. And this is something you've heard about. It's about the people who unconsciously frustrate the hell out of you. Passive-aggressive personality will be somebody who has 20 jobs in their life. They don't know why. And you know how they quit? It's really interesting. They leave. They don't show up for work. And they start having reasons why they can't show up for work. And it's like they don't say to the boss, I'm mad at you and I'm leaving here because I can't stand it. If they don't confront the people that they're working with, they are doomed to repeat it over and over and over again. And that's what happens. It gets ingrained. It becomes really something special. And this stuff could turn into something really bad. We're talking about the passive-aggressive personality functioning. You've all lived with it. It could be conscious. It could be unconscious. The one thing you know about it is if you're somebody who is always late, always making excuses, always apologizing, right, you got it. You've been bitten by the PA bug. Yeah. It's got you. And it's something to do something about. And again, you know, it's difficult to find the skilled therapist who knows how to treat it. Because the skilled therapist becomes just another person who you resist. That's what therapy is supposed to be, a cooperation. So it's up to the therapist to kind of entice you to cooperate rather than resist. When soon as they become the authority, boom, you're a goner. You know, or you're both goners. With you at the Positive Mind, Tuesday through Thursday, here at WBAI, 99.5 FM, my precious WBAI, my precious radio station that I have been with for 17 years, and it's a family. Yep, all of it is a family. The people who dislike the other people, they're all part of a family just like any other family. And people are trying to raise to power and say, I'm the one, I'm the right one, you're the wrong one. It's what you hear. But a lot of it is aggressive-aggressive. You know, you don't see when people are in factions and they're fighting with each other, passive-aggressiveness doesn't work if you're trying to get votes. It just doesn't work. Hey, I want to take your calls today also. 212-209-2900. I'm talking about passive-aggressive, and I know you've had quite a bit of experience with it. You know, we've been talking about aggression in relationships. But behind the private doors, not open to the public, many couples do such deeply harmful things to each other without even knowing it. Spouse abuse is not only limited to the active abuse of your spouse with words that hurt and beating them up. That's not the only spouse abuse. Passive-aggressive personality functioning is a way of stonewalling or defying. You know, these jokes. Jokes are a common way of people defeating or washing away somebody else's pointing a finger at them and holding you responsible. Jokes. Jokes are another way of avoiding a direct confrontation. It's another form, very often, making jokes of things. We need a new word in the English language, like love abuse, to address the things that people do with each other. We need to start a group like LAVA, L-A-V-A, Love Abuse Victims Anonymous, right? Then we'll have ADCLOVA, Adult Children of Love Abusers Victim, you know. But the stuff between couples takes place in the privacy of closed doors. People screaming at each other, say harmful things to each other all the time. We saw it as kids and we hated it. But then you might have been one of those people who saw a family who was very nice and very kind and very sweet and supportive and just had high expectations. Now, how do you get mad at that family? All they're doing is trying to be good to you, right? Passive-aggressive. And that becomes the way you deal with everybody. A passive-aggressive person has one unconscious thought in mind, which is never to get caught for their behaviors. They're going to avoid it. So they're going to be ducking it all the time. You can't catch them. You can't nail them down. You say to somebody passive-aggressive, how could you be late? And they'll say the bus, the subway, the train, the car, the world, the water, the doorman, the traffic. You know, something got in their way. They're never going to get caught. And I say to you, this is unconscious. The passive-aggressive person doesn't even know how destructive they are being most of the time. 212-209-2900, T-Dub, who is our engineer, who is with us today, is going to give us a hand and try to take one of our calls. We'll take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Terry from Long Island.
Hello, Terry.
Yes, and I'm calling because I was in a relationship with a person who positive was passive-aggressive. And in the beginning, they were very patient and understanding, and they seemed to be very comfortable. But when I began to complain about anything, whether it was a little thing or a small thing, they just shut down. Like you said, stonewalling. That's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And then I began to do what you said to absolutely not do. The yelling, the blaming, the accusations, and the person as the years went on, they just withdrew more and more. So my question, I'm no longer in a relationship with this person, but I'm still, he's the father of my children. So my question is, how do you deal with a passive, aggressive person without pushing them away because of what you do? And how do you make them or hold them accountable for what they do without being negative and damaging them because of how they are?
Well, it's not so much damaging them. What about being effective? What about you have, this is the father of your children, right? So now you want an effective exchange because you don't want it to damage the children.
Yes.
You know one thing is for sure. If you yell at him, you go nowhere.
Oh, no.
Now, if this was somebody who was currently your lover and husband and you had to really depend on, I'd say, well, the two of you better go into some kind of therapy and try to fix it or get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have this person and you need to cooperate with them, then you have to understand it. You have to understand the passive-aggressive nature of them. They cannot take responsibility for what they're doing. They're going to avoid and duck any accusations. They're going to show you signs when they get angry, like being late or forgetting to show up.
Yes.
So when you see those signs, that's when you got to back off, if you need to be in this relationship.
Now, I do back off, so I don't know what to do after you back off. I don't know how long to back off, and then I don't know how to come back in a more positive way, or do I just wait for the person to... At this point, I'm waiting for the person to come around.
Sure. Now, how long do you know this guy?
Oh, wow, about 13, 14 years.
You sit down with him one day, and you say, you know, I've learned something about my own behaviors. You do not mention the word passive-aggressive.
Okay.
You don't say it. Say, I learned something about my behaviors that really makes people back up.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and you say, now, here's what I need to do. When I get upset, I need to be able to express something, but I don't know how I could stop myself from yelling and stuff like that, so I need your help, my old friend. And what I need you to do is tell me, if you could, just hold up your hand. And when you put your hand up, or when you show me your palm, I'll get immediately quiet. Whatever it is, if you could give me a hint that you don't like what I'm saying anymore, just put up your palm. Because this is going to give me a chance of not running you into one of those corners where you don't talk to me anymore.
Right.
So it's like trying to get a hint before it goes too far. And you ask them if they have an investment for the children's sake to cooperate with you.
Yes. Okay, that really sounds like good advice. And I think in time that'll work, because he's definitely stonewalling right now. So I'm not going to get anything out of him, I guess, for a while.
Oh, you can
and
do
even,
one thing.
And even though I haven't been doing the yelling and screaming, he already knows it's in my nature. So if we have a conversation, it may get to that point, because if I feel he's hiding or trying to avoid his responsibilities, then that's when my voice starts raising, and that's when he just begins to withdraw even more.
Okay, when it doesn't work, when reason doesn't work, try food. What does he like to eat that only you could make?
I can't think of anything.
What about a dessert? What about a pie?
There was a particular, it's interesting you said a pie was a particular dessert. At this point, though.
Well, what is the dessert? Hold on a second.
It happened to be a cheesecake. But out of his anger, the buildup of anger so many years, I think he would probably throw that cheesecake in my face at this point. So I don't know if that would be a good idea.
It's a good idea. Okay. It's a good idea. Deliver it with no strings attached. Say, you know, I don't know how to get to you because I feel stupid about the way I've handled our relationship. I've made you your favorite cheesecake. I don't expect anything back. If you feel like throwing it at a picture of me, you go right ahead.
And interesting enough, I do feel stupid in a sense that it's not that I felt like I was wrong in the things I complained about. I felt I was definitely justified. But it does make me feel a little stupid because it was... From what you're saying, there's a reason for him to behave that way.
That's right.
Not necessarily a
That's
personal
right. The funny thing about
choice. I do believe he's always been this way. It's just it came out when I began to complain. Whereas before, when we just talked and I expressed myself or he expressed myself, I could see he was very comfortable and relaxed in communicating with me. But over the years, with the complaints, he built a very strong wall.
Thank you very much for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure, this is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Passive aggressiveness is not Mahatma Gandhi. You know, it's not being passively aggressive is different than passive aggressiveness. It's not a person who's taking an active but non-aggressive role in making changes. Passive aggressiveness is insidious kind of destructiveness meant to take a form that's so invisible that it leaves you feeling completely wiped out, not because of the intensity, but because you can never tell who hit you and with what. You know, how about not returning phone calls? How's that for a passive-aggressive way, you know? I didn't get to it. Not returning emails. Ooh! Isn't that wonderful? You send somebody an email and they don't respond? Passive-aggressive. Now, sometimes it's wise not to respond because all you have to do... You know, you may be somebody who's really explosive. But the opposite of active aggression, violence, is not passive aggression. It's something in the middle. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Hello. How are
hi
you?
Hi there.
Yes, I'm going from Tokyo, Japan. I I generally get up at this time. Well, a little later, but I got up early and I listen to your program often.
Well, thank you very much. Calling from Tokyo.
Yeah, I'm originally from New York, so WBAI is one of my favorite stations when I was there, and now that I'm not, it still is. I teach here in Japan, and among our teachers here, this is one of the topics that always comes up. The students are up, the society, in fact, has this. You know, I don't want to pigeonhole them, but I mean, in terms of by comparison, society. But let's talk about the students that are passively aggressive in class. They do all the symptoms that you mentioned.
Well, because it's really
all time and time again, the homework's not done. I mean, we're talking about simple stuff, writing a sentence or something. That, you know, it's simple English that they can work out if they put some effort to it. But oftentimes, it's just continual. I'm sorry. I don't know how many times we've always heard this, and I was just wondering, are societies this way? We've been told, like in Japan, because of the brutality in which people were under in the old days, and that's still carrying forward, that there's this passive-aggressive thread, cultural passive-aggressive thread that's acceptable. This behavior is acceptable.
What's your name?
In Japan.
What's your name?
I was just curious about that. Is this an anomaly, or is this an abnormality of a society, or is this obviously it functions for the society, but I mean in terms of...
Well, it functions to a certain point. What's your name?
I'm sorry, my name is Desi.
Desi?
Desi, D-E-S-I.
Desi. So, Desi, I think what you're seeing is this thing about pride that I think is very important. My son lives in Japan.
Oh, okay, good.
He tells in Tokyo, in fact, and he tells me a great deal about it. There is a kind of pride. Now, this is very important, to not be perceived as doing something wrong. Doing something wrong is the worst thing in the world. It's humiliating. Now, I can make mistakes, and I can do something wrong. And the worst that happens is I could do an apology, and I could say, oh, I did something wrong. It doesn't crush me. But in their minds, doing something wrong is crushing. And I think if I were you as a teacher, the dent I would try to make is I would teach a course on being wrong. I would try to teach a course where I used to teach chess. I used to teach chess when I was a kid. I learned how to play chess. I became a chess master. And I wanted to learn to teach people how to make the mistakes. The mistakes is the important thing. You should not slap yourself for a mistake. So if you could do a course, and in this course you help people be wrong, and being wrong is acceptable, you see, somehow if you could design that in, you would start making a dent in this mind that says being right is the only way to be, and everything else is shameful. So that puts a real task in your mind. You know, I mean, like imagine if you put... If you put things under a blind, there used to be a program we had on television, I forgot what it was, many, many years ago, where you'd have to name the thing that you're touching, but you're not allowed to see it. So they'd put a blind, and they'd put a box, and they'd put three things in a box, and you'd have to put your hand through the hole in the box, and one would be an avocado, another one would be a rock, another one, and you'd have to name what it is. And so they'd put kind of silly things in there as well. And you'd have to say what you thought it was, and you could be wrong or you could be right. And it was kind of almost fun to be wrong. You know? It's like, can you tell by smell who's in the room? Can you tell by this strand of hair who it belongs to? Of course they shouldn't have to be able to tell.
Right, of course.
So the idea
lessons on being wrong.
Yeah, lessons on being wrong.
What dynamic does that would that elicit an agenda, that it's okay to be wrong?
It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong makes a person feel so different than feeling shame when you're wrong, because part of learning is being wrong. Part of being a professional and part of being successful is knowing that you could take many chances and you could be wrong sometimes and you'll be right more often than you're wrong, and that's all there is to it.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to be right every time. Desi, thanks for calling in.
Oh, just quick. So would you say then that this tone of passive aggressiveness as it's expressed here is based on the fear, immense fear of being wrong?
I think it's based on shame. Yes.
Shame. It's based on shame.
Shame.
And being wrong is being shameful.
Yes, and it's a big generalization because, you know, in every society there are going to be people who are and aren't. But I'd say the one you're experiencing among young students is based on a kind of an overemphasis on not being wrong, and the consequence of being wrong is this deep, intense shame.
I see. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in. Well, that's the furthest reach we've had so far, huh, from Tokyo? Furthest telephone reach. We've had calls from India. So this goes on. You know, we see most of the passive aggressiveness in the world happens around when you start seeing it around family dinners. You get family dinners and it comes the holiday time and there's a lot of people who are very annoyed with other people in the family and they don't want to express their annoyance. So they don't want to express their annoyance and it kind of comes out. It kind of comes out with little nasty notes and jokes and stuff like that. And the funny thing about a passive-aggressive joke aimed and targeted on you is it is so difficult to counter it, so difficult to be able to respond to it. Because you make a big deal out of nothing, you know? Well, my friends, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. One of the passive-aggressive favorite mechanisms is to tell you what other people say about you. Here's another good one. When people say to you, you know, they were all saying you were unreasonable, or they reveal some information that makes you angry at another person. A passive-aggressive person will do this very often. They'll do what's called signifying. You remember the signifying monkey? Signifying is when you get somebody, I think it came from an Oscar Brown song called The Signifying Monkey, where you get somebody angry at somebody else by telling that somebody that the other person spoke badly about them. That's signifying. Sound familiar? Yep. Passive-aggressive stuff can really get to work on you, especially if you're an explosive type of person, because aggressive people and passive-aggressive people tend to attract each other. You got two aggressive types who are attracted to each other, but it's kind of easy. They're just kind of fighting all the time. And two passive-aggressive types, they become so isolated that they never even talk to each other anymore. So the passive-aggressive tends to like the aggressive. The aggressive tends to like the passive-aggressive because they are attracted to it, but then it kind of turns sour. So this is Armand DeMille. If you wanted a copy of today's program to send as a Christmas gift to somebody who you're passively aggressive angry at, imagine that. You'd call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends, and by strong demand. If you want to send me an email, it's armand@brainlink, brainlink.com. And because I already received a couple of notes saying, would you do it again, here's another of that Luis Enrique. But, of course, T-Dub, if you need to, you use the space as you need it.
I would love to use that space and listen to that. I would love to listen to that music, but
Mas que nada sai da minha frente e eu quero passar, pois o samba está...